The promise of God is that wherever his word is, wherever it is proclaimed, it does not return void.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, making the case against American revivalism at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And he encourages us to continue to hold up the truth, to hold up that which we have received faithfully from our fathers, in all things especially, to hold up Christ. That's my case for the importance of practice and doctrine informing one another.
You can watch more than 10 hours of teachings from this year's conference, including Dr. Rast's presentation, for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Having been authorized by the church to install Nadia Boltz Weber, our co-worker in the gospel, as pastor of public witness, I now ask for certification of this call.
After prayerful deliberation, we, the Rocky Mountain Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, have called the Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber to serve as a minister of word and sacrament in the position of pastor of public witness.
As an excerpt from the recent installation of Nadia Boltz Weber as pastor of public witness for the Rocky Mountain Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, what is a pastor of public witness? Nadia Boltz Weber has certainly been a cause celeb in the ELCA and elsewhere. She's an authoress. She's controversial. She has served as a parish pastor, but also, after leaving that and her husband, decided to come out as a public theologian. I don't think we ever understood what that was. Maybe it's being made official by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in this call. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about Nadia Boltz Weber, installed as the first pastor of public witness in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, with Pastor Carrie Larson, a former pastor in the ELCA. Our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year continues. We'll talk about Lamentations with Dr. Ken Sherb. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Then we'll go through listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Nadia Boltz Weber being installed as the first pastor of public witness in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Pastor Carrie Larson. He formerly served as a pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and he's pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church in Waseca, Minnesota, and assistant presiding pastor at the American Association of Lutheran Churches. Pastor Larson, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
What is your personal history with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
Back in 1991, I left the active duty service to the Navy, and my wife and I returned home to Minnesota, and actually returned home to her church, which was an ALC church, American Lutheran Church, with a German background. And at the time, we didn't really see anything different. And I was struggling with the sense of call, struggling with what am I going to do with my life since I left the Navy, and I actually struggled with the debate of, do I go to Concordia St. Louis or Luther Seminary? And given the fact that my wife was employed and I had children in school, I didn't want to be an over-the-horizon husband and father. And so I went to Luther Seminary, not appreciating the differences. But I learned in 2002 when I entered my studies that there was a gross difference, especially as I was taught as a boy in the LCMS. The Lutheran confessions are the proper exhibition of God's word. And so I found myself gravitating towards like-minded students, and specifically professors like James Nestegen, who you've had on the program many times. In 2006, I was ordained with a heart towards rural and small-town ministry. And yet I knew I was going to be in for a struggle, because one of the texts for my ordination service was the 2 Timothy chapter 4 text, which many of your listeners would know, especially verses 3 and 4, where people will no longer endure sound teaching or sound doctrine, but with itching ears accumulate for themselves teachers who will suit their passions and will turn away from the truth and into myth. But I preached the word in and out of season, just as Paul commissioned Timothy to do the same.
So you spoke at the ELCA's churchwide assembly 12 years ago. What did you say then, and what kind of reaction did you get?
Yes, I think I was the token conservative voice for my synod, which is the district-like geographic areas within the ELCA. But I found it moved by the Spirit that I had to stand before the 2,000 and plus in that assembly. And I bid them not to leave the Word of God, that this motions that were on the floor were clearly in violation of God's Word. And specifically, that was to ordain practicing homosexuals. And the reaction was the vote went at two-thirds, exactly two-thirds. And so there was no one had an out. No one could say that my vote did not matter. And the remaining pastors and laymen, that one-third that voted against the actions of the 2009 churchwide assembly, we huddled together. We felt like those disciples that were in the upper room. Where is our Christ? Where are we now? And by God's goodwill, Dr. Robert Gagnon, who you've had on the program many times, made an appearance, and he urged us to fight the good fight. And since then, many of us have left the ELCA. A handful of us have come to the American Association of Lutheran Churches. I have friends that have gone into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as well.
So what in particular moved you to leave the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
Oh, it was the clear departure of God's Word and the clear departure of the Lutheran confessions. We treat the Lutheran confessions as an accurate historical and exhibition of God's Word. We use the Latin term quia, meaning it's in lockstep, if you will, with the Word of God. The ELCA doesn't have that approach. They treat it as historical documents, period, and that's where it ends. And that clearly pastors and the leaders of the ELCA, their hearts were hardened to the Word of God. They were going off to the things of this world, the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age.
Many pastors and lay people in confessional Lutheran church bodies wonder what keeps people from leaving the ELCA. How would you describe that?
Yeah, that's a common question, and I wish it was a simple answer, but it's not. For many, like my family, I have family members and friends, they're embedded in these ELCA congregations. They identified a place. They have loved ones buried in the cemeteries around these churches. My own wife's family donated the land that the church building was built on, so there's this hard connection to the congregations. Most, as I know, believe that the ELCA has gone in a wrong direction, but they know what they believe. And they don't see, unfortunately, a disparity of having an ELCA label, let's say, on their marquee or whatnot, and what they confess within the church. But it is very clouded at times. I know some pastors who have retreated from all things ELCA and yet are continuing to live out their call faithfully. They believe in the quia subscription. They have a quia subscription to the Lutheran confessions, that the Word of God is in fact inerrant, and they do the work of word and sacrament, but they see this as their last call, and they see it as their mission field. And to laymen and pastors who believe such, I would offer an invitation that they would consider the American Association of Lutheran Churches or the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or other confessional Lutheran churches, because I know they would feel like they are coming home again.
So let's talk about Nadia Bowles Weber. Who is she?
She's a public voice of the ELCA. She was a graduate in 2008 from the ILIFF School of Theology, which is identified with the Methodist Church in Denver. I don't think she's ever left Denver. She's a product of the Rocky Mountain Synod. They're very proud of her. She has continued to make waves across the ELCA. I knew some pastors who were just enamored with her, just fawned over her. And she has been held up in many occasions as the example of where they want to go. With her ordination, she created a church, founded a church, I should say, a house of all sinners and saints, and very crude in terms of their short-handed way of calling it, half, whatever. And they want to reach out to people who believe are truly marginalized by the church, but in fact, they just continue to feed them garbage and not the stuff that they really need to hear, and that's the true gospel of Jesus Christ. She has been portrayed as the ideal candidate, the ideal pastor. She's been put before the youth of the ELCA, and now she's moved on. In 2018, she moved on to a public ministry that she calls it, and really what it is she doesn't confine herself to a call within a body of believers, a congregation, but she kind of freelances, and I guess the ELCA has now taken upon themselves to make this authentic and make this into something real and commission them to be in this new role.
So as far as you can tell, what is a pastor of public witness?
Yeah, isn't that an interesting term? I don't have a clue. We don't have such a thing within confessional Lutheranism. I mean, if she's talking about the priesthood of all believers, yeah, we're supposed to be those who bring the gospel to a world that's hurting, desperate, in need of the good news of Jesus Christ. But what I think this is really about the Rocky Mountain Synod, which again is like a district within the ELCA, and this position is to champion social justice. This position is to champion all these things that the ELCA wants to champion, critical race theory and some of these other things that are really more social driven than they are about proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We are talking with Pastor Kerry Larson about Nadia Bolz-Weber, installed as the first pastor of public witness in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. On the other side, does she fairly represent the theology and practice of the ELCA? Well, you can't call yourself a Lutheran if you don't teach and understand and learn Luther's Small Catechism. That's why we're offering, as our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism for Kids. It's full of helps for parents and teachers for grades 2 through 5. Find out more about Luther's Small Catechism for Kids at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Be sure to ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
There are competing stories, competing futures, and so we have competing hopes.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
There are the hopes that the world offers, which are uncertain and which are limited to this life only and which offer no meaning in the midst of suffering. And then there is, on the other hand, a Christian hope which is sure and which has an extended horizon. It pushes past even your death and the grave, and it upholds us in the midst of suffering. There's a difference between the way the world hopes and the way the church hopes.
For a donation of $300 to Issues Etc., you can watch an on-demand video stream of this year's conference, including Pastor Wolfmiller's teaching, Making the Case for Christian Hope. Find out more at issuesetc.org or make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Lutheran. It's not a slogan. It's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Every pastor knows this phrase. It goes something like this: Pastor, I have a question. In fact, every church worker is familiar with this phrase because the church workers of the LCMS, pastors, teachers, deaconesses, frequently answer questions that are put to them by the people they serve. In the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, the pastors, teachers, and deaconesses of the LCMS answer the questions they are most commonly asked. To get your copy, visit cph.org/witness and visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Pastor Kerry Larson is our guest. We're talking about Nadia Bolz-Weber, installed as the first pastor of public witness in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. So, Pastor Larson, does Nadia Bolz-Weber fairly represent the theology and practice of the ELCA?
I think she does. I think she represents where the ELCA wants to go. They continue to push the lines and define things differently, and she is where they want to be. I think they look at congregations like my wife's church and other folks who want to hold on to the Lutheran confessions as dead weight, and so they are trying to figure out how they can do away with such dead weight, but she is definitely the rising star and an epitome of what they want to be in the future.
So how do you explain her appeal inside and outside of Lutheranism?
I think we have to first distinguish what Lutheranism is. She has no appeal inside confessional Lutheranism, but what the world would know as Lutheranism, given the fact that the ELCA is the largest quote-unquote Lutheran body in the United States, I think often people, her crudeness, her coarseness is seen as authentic, and I think that's one of her major appeals. Is she's just real. She's just raw. She's not churchy. And so she has abandoned all those terms that we will use to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into terminology that's just everyday. So there is something to be learned about that. She is greeting people where they're at, but she has totally abandoned sound biblical doctrines.
What do you make of the comparison that was made in the Religion News Service piece between Bolz-Weber and Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers of television?
Yeah. Reverend Rogers brought various Christian values to the public through children programming. I grew up with that kind of programming, watching his program. But I think it fails miserably to use such a comparison. In fact, her message is, if anything, a gross distortion of the message that Reverend Roger wished to bring to children for them to embrace. Her message is not that from the Bible. Her message is that what the world would have children and other people to know.
Bolz-Weber herself is quoted in the RNS piece saying, quote, "Almost everything I say is just a translation of really basic Lutheran theology, and they're the ones who gave me that language in the first place." How do you respond?
The ELCA has continued to shift and warp Lutheran theology as us confessional Lutherans know it. When we hear the term Lutheran theology, we think Book of Concord, we think of gospel and law, the proper distinction of both of them. We have different ideas when we hear that term, but for them and what she champions, it's universalism. It's gospel reductionism. It's the founding ideas that we know as critical race theory today. I have not heard her refer to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have heard her say God, Christ, and Holy Spirit, scrubbing the masculine tones of who God is. And he chooses to reveal himself in the masculine way because he is the holy other. She may use expressions that we're saved by grace through faith through Christ alone, and people go, that sounds very Lutheran, but it certainly is not the Lutheran theology that is articulated clearly in the Book of Concord.
Some say that despite her progressive teachings, Bolz-Weber gets the gospel. Is that true?
I think what she is good at is showing a veneer of what the world wants to hear. She sprinkles her teachings, she sprinkles her words with grace, love, and mercy. But these are not the words that we know through the scriptures. They're her definition or what the world would have them defined as. She adamantly denies substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, where we see God in his true grace and love and mercy and action, the invisible God revealed to us through Jesus Christ. She never says Jesus Christ. She always says Christ. Well, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have the gospel. And she certainly doesn't speak of the law. She speaks of the law as something that you can choose what you like and what you don't like. And at the end of the day, her gospel is a gospel that doesn't save. It's a gospel that leaves people condemned in their sins.
In that sense, what is the gospel of the ELCA? What have they replaced the true gospel with?
You know, I can't cite the source, but I once read that the ELCA, that its idea of gospel is really 16th century Lutheran pietism on steroids. The gospel in the ELCA is just a version of pietistic law. And I think what they have achieved, what H.R. Niebuhr said in his Kingdom of God in America in 1938, a God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministration of a Christ without a cross. I think that is the gospel, put that in quotes, the gospel of the ELCA, a Christless, in terms of a Christless cross, a universalism, a God that certainly comes to you and loves you as you are, but doesn't change you, keeps you in your sin.
Pastor Kerry Larson is former pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He's pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church in Waseca, Minnesota, and assistant presiding pastor at the Association of Lutheran Churches. Pastor Larson, thank you very much for your time.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you.
Our series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, continues with Lamentations. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a new resource for children ages 8 through 11. Luther's Small Catechism for Kids contains colorful icons and illustrations to help guide children through each tenet of the Christian faith. Learn more about Luther's Small Catechism for Kids at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. An easy-to-use resource for teaching the faith in a simple way, Luther's Small Catechism for Kids.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.